God has said, I'm sending someone to fix it. He said it that very day, and he has been through the prophets of the Old Testament. He was whispering it here and there, giving glimpses, just shadows of this man that was going to come and make everything fixed, make everything right. All of the chaos and the bloodshed, all of the violence and the horror, all of the depravity and the brutality that people have done to each other and continue to do day after day after day after day, the unimaginable horror that we call the history of mankind. God said, I'm sending a man who's going to right everything. And the prophets spoke and whispered about this guy until you get to Isaiah. And it's like Isaiah just shouts it from the housetops. You look in Isaiah, it just screams, the Messiah is coming. Everything that prophet said was just incredible. Praise God. And when Christ came into the world, all these prophecies began to be fulfilled. Everything from his birth to his life to his death to his resurrection. For instance, Christ was born. Let's take his birth just to start off with. First gear, Christ was born. The prophets in the Old Testament said, I'll tell you what, when he comes, he's going to be born in Bethlehem. Another prophet said he'll be of the tribe of Judah. There was another prophecy, he's going to be of the house or the family of David. And all of those things took place. That in itself would be incredible. That's pretty amazing. They told when and who it was going to be. But what about the fact that he was born of a virgin? How do you pull that off? I mean, you know, you can kind of try to finagle this thing, but born of a virgin, man, that's exactly what happened. Prophecy fulfilled by a supernatural event. Isaiah, hundreds of years before Christ, Isaiah 7:14, the prophet said, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Did it happen? There you go. The record shows for itself. In fact, it rings so true, it almost cost Mary her life. That's what makes it ring so true. If it wasn't true, she would have either tried to hide it or claim she'd been raped or some other thing like this. If it wasn't true, why would she tell everybody, God made me pregnant? You just don't say that in ancient Israel. It'll get you killed. But she would not deny it. And she had a witness, which was her cousin Elizabeth, who herself, at the same time, had a miraculous pregnancy. So, supernatural event, fulfilling prophecy. And that was just the birth of Christ. So, Jesus is born. He grows up. And he begins his ministry. The ministry of Jesus Christ. I mean, was there anything miraculous about the ministry of Jesus Christ? Let me ask you this. Is there any miraculous ministry that anybody can claim that even touches what Christ did? Miraculous beyond measure, the life and ministry of Christ. Now, that's fine, but did it fulfill prophecy? Did those supernatural events, raising the dead, making the lame walk, making blind eyes to see, feeding 5,000, walking on water, all of that, is that a fulfillment of prophecy? You better believe it is. Isaiah 35:6, here's Isaiah again. Hundreds of years before Christ said, this is what it's going to be like. He said, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, the tongue of the dumb sing. For water shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. Talking of the Holy Spirit being poured out on the heels of this miraculous ministry. Did that happen? Better believe it. Does anybody think that prophecy sounds like Jesus? Or was he talking about somebody else maybe? Who thinks that was Jesus? Yeah, no brainer. Praise God. In fact, when John the Baptist sent his disciples to ask Jesus, when John was in prison, he sent his disciples to ask Jesus, man, I'm a little bit confused here. Are you really the guy? You know, I had my hopes up, but things aren't looking good. I think I'm about to die. Are you really the one we're supposed to be waiting for? Look what Jesus said as his answer. He said, John. Go ahead and throw it up there. Then Jesus answered and said to them, go and tell John the things you have seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he who was not offended because of me. He said, John, do you know who to look for? This is what's happening. I'm him. I'm him. Praise God. If I'm doing all this stuff, John, who else can I be? It's a fulfillment of prophecy. Now, that in itself would be enough reason to believe the Bible. Amen? But let's go even further. Let's just throw another nail in this thing. The death of Jesus Christ, the crucifixion. Was there anything miraculous about the crucifixion of Jesus? Test your Bible knowledge here. How about darkness for 6 hours in the middle of the day, from 9 in the morning till 3 o'clock in the afternoon? Anything miraculous about that? How about when he died, the moment he died, the veil in the temple that separated off the holy place suddenly became ripped in half by invisible hands? How about at the moment, say again, from the top to the bottom? How about the moment he died, there was suddenly, for no reason, a massive earthquake that literally split rocks around where the witnesses were standing? How about the dead being raised to life? Miraculous stuff. Crucifixion of Christ. But the most amazing thing, let me tell you this, all that weird stuff, let me tell you, if it suddenly turned black right now outside, no clouds in the sky, just went dark like it was night, that'd be amazing. If there was an earthquake all around us and, you know, this screen just split like somebody tore it in half, that would be pretty amazing. If the dead were raised and dead folks started walking around out there, that would be amazing. But the most amazing thing about the death of Jesus Christ is this. This blows my mind. I want you to look at with me at Psalm 22. When Jesus was hanging on that cross, he suddenly cried out something from the depths of his being. He said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, what's so amazing about that? I'll tell you what's so amazing, but I'm glad you asked. I just told you to look at Psalm 22. You know, back in Jesus' day, there was no such thing as a Psalm 22 because they didn't have chapters and verses. That didn't come until around the 1500s. If you wanted somebody to look at a piece of scripture back in Jesus' day, you had to tell them the first line. You had to tell them the name of the passage, particularly a psalm, and the name of the psalm was the first line of the psalm. And in what we call today Psalm 22, back then, the first line of that psalm was, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why did Jesus want people to look at Psalm 22? Why did he say that from the cross? We're going to see right now. Here's some excerpts from Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Does that sound familiar? Where did people say that? At the cross. What's next? Let's go to verse 12. Many bulls surround me. Strong bulls of Bashan encircle me. Roaring lions tearing their prey open their mouths wide against me. That's the Roman soldiers. They literally ripped his back open and in shreds. Verse 14, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. When they had nailed him to that cross and they raised those beams up and they dropped it into the hole, the weight of his body as it fell down and that got caught by those nails pulled his arms out of his shoulders. His shoulders literally went out of joint at that moment. My bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It has melted away within me. There was a spear that went up through his side when his heart was swollen, and it pierced the pericardium, and blood and water poured out. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. That's why Jesus said from the cross, I thirst. Next one. Dogs, that's another word for Gentiles. Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men has encircled me. What was on his right and on his left? Thieves. They have pierced my hands and my feet. Does that sound familiar at all? They've pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. Now back then they wanted the thieves off they wanted the people off the cross because the Sabbath was drawing near, and so they would break their legs so they couldn't breathe anymore. But when they got to Jesus, he was already dead, so they didn't break his legs. He had no broken bones. He said, I can count all my bones. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. Does that sound familiar? All of this happened 1,000 years before Christ. Do you know that when David wrote this, this was written by a man who had never witnessed a crucifixion because it wasn't even invented yet. It would not be invented till hundreds of years later when it was invented in Persia. And then the Greeks and the Romans caught on and made it a routine practice because they wanted to inflict as much suffering as possible when they executed their criminals. Written by a guy 1,000 years before Christ who had never even seen a crucifixion. And yet, it's like reading an account of Jesus on the cross, word for word. That is incredible. Prophecy fulfilled by supernatural events. Praise God.